You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Purpose of the talk, considering the uncertainty about the future, it seems safer to go back into the past. And so this is a brief history of being clad. Why did we wear clothes? When did humans first see the necessity for clothes? And various other things. Now, in some past presentations, people have said, in the beginning there was God. In the beginning there was the Word. Well, today I'm going to introduce a new in the beginning. In the beginning, there was fur, and the earliest humans, our ancestors, known as hominins, were ape-like, and they were covered in fur. Here they are. Yeah, they had a few whiskers and some fur. So, for them, fur would have been very useful, keeping them warm on cold nights, but something must have created an evolutionary pressure for these hominins to lose their fur, because over a period of time, became less and less hairy. The prevailing theory among scientists is that the first Homo sapiens evolved in Africa, and between 56,000 and 200,000 years ago, it's not terribly precise, but in that period, they migrated into other lands. And for those of you who have read some of the writings of Leakey, he talks about African genesis and how all of the present-day humans originated in Africa. Now, the data shows that modern humans started wearing clothes about 70,000 years before migrating into colder climates and higher latitudes. And this began about 100,000 years ago. This date would be virtually impossible to determine using archaeological data because early clothing would not have survived in this archaeological site. 100,000 years is a bit much for a piece of cotton or a bit of silk to persist. So humans started wearing clothes well after they lost their body hair, and the genetic skin coloration research pinpoints this as happening about 1 million years ago. Meaning that humans spent a considerable amount of time without body hair and without clothing. So it wasn't just that they were furry and stayed that way. They lost that body hair and still without clothing. It's interesting to think humans were able to survive in Africa for hundreds of thousands of years without clothing and without body hair. And that it wasn't until they had clothing that modern humans were then moving out of Africa into other parts of the world. Modern humans, who first appeared about 200,000 years ago, probably started wearing clothes on a regular basis to keep warm when they were first exposed to the ice age conditions. You might remember back from school days, they talked about when the ice age occurred. This is about 120,000 years ago. But the first exposure to ice age may have been 180,000 years ago, two major ice age events. Anyway, it suggested that humans started wearing clothes in the preceding ice age, way back 180,000 years ago, and these temperature estimates came from looking at ice core studies. They were the source of their information. So we are the naked apes of the world, having shed most of our body hair long ago. There are some obvious reasons. For instance, having hair on our palms and wrists could make the napping of stone tools, making arrowheads and stone axes, more difficult, and operating some weapons, bows and arrows and so on, much more difficult. So human ancestors who lost their hair may have had an advantage. And as you know, in the theory of evolution, Something that is a genetic advantage gets perpetuated. Those things that are not so good adaptations tend to disappear. So the reason that the rest of our body lost its fur has been up for debate for quite a few decades. Desmond Morris, he used the term the naked ape to talk about humans and the fact that they were simply, well, perhaps not too simply, but apes without hair. Now, the fact is that we're all born without clothes. The difference is that most of us go on to cover up in public. So, if being naked is so natural, why did our obsession with clothing begin? And how did it begin? And why? There are good reasons to do so. In colder climes, we'd freeze to death without some extra padding. And in intense heat, clothing can shield us from the sun. However, some hunter-gatherer societies still choose to live mostly naked, which suggests that clothing is not as vital to their survival. So when did we start wearing clothes? The first humans were known to make clothing. The Neanderthal man survived from about 200,000 BC to about 30,000 BC. During this time, the Earth's temperature rose and fell dramatically, creating a series of ice ages, some of them quite extensive, some of them less so, but particularly the northern areas of Europe and Asia where the Neanderthals lived. But they had rather compact, muscular bodies that conserved body heat. Neanderthals were well adapted to the cold climate of the day, but it was their large brain that served them best, having the ability to think and do things to improve their nutrition, reduce the risk of being eaten up by predators and so on. They learned to make crude but effective tools from stone. Spears and axes made these Neanderthals quite strong hunters, and they hunted the hairy mammoths, the bears, the deer, the musta ox, and other mammals that shared their environment. At some point, they learned how to use the thick furry hides from these animals to keep themselves warm and dry. With this discovery, clothing was born. Determining exactly when humans began wearing clothes is a challenge, largely because the clothing does not survive. But scientists, being as they are, came up with another approach. Well, there were several theories about how this might work. The archaeologists have been able to find, for instance, that based on genetic skin coloration research, that humans lost most of their fur about 100,000 years ago, and that the first tools used to scrape the hides date back to about 780,000 years ago. But animal hides served other uses, not only clothing, but shelter. And it's thought that those tools that were used to prepare the hides for that purpose is probably the reason they were developed rather than for clothing. Later, hide needles started appearing about 40,000 years ago. So people could sew things, and they were able to patch together some clothing. Hide needles started appearing at that time, but those tools point, and no pun intended here, to more complex clothing, meaning clothes that probably had already been around for a while. Here's a quick summary. First on the left, then gradually evolving to this man here in the foreground, where clothing is a bit more sophisticated, and so we have this evolution. Now, there are a number of theories behind the origin of clothing. There are four main ones. The modesty theory, and as you may remember from your Latin lessons, particularly those in the medical fraternity, modesty comes from the Latin word modestus, which means keeping within measure. The theory familiar to the Mesopotamian legends of the Garden of Eden, and even seduction by the serpent, holds that clothing was originally donned to conceal the genital organs from a sense of shame, modesty, embarrassment, or some other form of sexual emotion. From this beginning, it is a practice of covering the body became generally sexual self-consciousness, and it's become more refined. Another theory is called the immodesty theory, or sexual attraction theory, first put forward by Dr. Westmark about 1921. He said that people first wore clothes in order to attract attention to their private parts. Dress is a powerful sexual tool. We see this in modern day, people choosing to dress in ways that accentuate rather than diminish. And Havelock Ellis, famous psychologist, he and Westermarck came up with the theory that the intent and purpose of clothing in the beginning was salacious, it was designed to attract attention, and so that's what they thought. But other theories, the adornment theory, clothing chosen by both males and females, begins with the desire to attract attention, to secure preeminence, not necessarily as a direct sexual sort, but nonetheless to stand out from the crowd. Primitive clothing on this series is conspicuous ornamentation. The theory refers to the decorative nature of clothes and other forms of appearance, modifications for the purpose of display, the attraction of aesthetic expression. And then fourthly, the projection theory, which suggests that clothes protect humans from the elements, animals, or even supernatural forces. In some of the Pacific Islands and in Papua New Guinea, a lot of the masks which are worn are to ward off the evil spirits. So, and climate has obviously played an important role, determining the necessity for clothing. Otherwise, people will be too cold or too hot. The temperate zones are responsible for clothing which covers substantially the entire body. Clothing protects the wearer against heat, cold, sandstorms, and other hazards. It's noted by researchers that humans started to wear clothing about 50,000 years before they dispersed out of Africa into the colder climes. Prehistoric people probably began to clothe their bodies about 170,000 years ago. This has been shown by discoveries of ancient cave paintings, drawings, in some statues, remains of materials used for making clothes. This is archaeological evidence. From the beginning, clothing has served the same basic human need: protection, a physical need, adornment, identification, a psychological need, and modesty and status, a social need. So, we've heard the expression, clothes maketh the man. It's an old saying which we accept as is without giving it much thought. Clothes not only make the man, but also affect the facial features and the body image. Clothes take the form of symbols used by individuals as a tool for social interaction. It's a form of nonverbal communication. And in fact, you recall that, well, perhaps you don't recall, you recall seeing pictures. You weren't around when these guys were active. But clothing was a form of nonverbal communication. All that being said, scientists have started gathering alternative data that might help solve the mystery of when we humans started covering our bits. A recent University of Florida study concluded that humans started wearing clothes some 170,000 years ago, lining up with the end of the second to last ice age. And how do they figure this out? So they studied the evolution of lice, those little creepy crawlies that we don't like to talk about. Lice. It was found out that the DNA sequencing of the lice was used as a way to calculate when clothing lice started to genetically split from head lice. Head lice had been around for a long time, but actual clothing lice were a new thing. And these couple of pictures here show the eggs, they show the animal, and they also show how they tend to be in seams and crevices within the clothing. And so, these studies by the University of Florida reckon that clothing lice were extremely well adapted to clothing. They hypothesize that body lice must have evolved to live in clothing, which meant that they weren't around before humans started wearing clothes. The study used DNA sequencing to calculate when clothing lice first became different. The finding of the study is significant because they show that the clothes appeared at a particular time, well before they migrated. The timing also makes sense due to known climatic factors at that era. Ian Gilligan from the Australian National University said that the study gave unexpectedly early date for clothing, much earlier than the earliest solid archaeological evidence, But it makes sense. It means modern humans probably started wearing clothes on a regular basis to keep warm when they first exposed to ice age conditions. As to when animals moved from animal hides into textiles, the first fabrics were thought to be an early ancestor of felt. Felt comes from wool, and if you rub it together, you can make it adhere, and they use it as tent covers in pastoral societies in China and Africa and elsewhere. So, an early ancestor of felt. But from there, early humans took up weaving about 27,000 years ago. This is based on the impressions of baskets and textiles which are in the clay. Those impressions have lasted, but the fabrics themselves have gone. Around 25,000 years, the first Venus figurines, little statues of women, appeared wearing a variety of different clothes that pointed to weaving technology being in place by this time. So archaeologists have used various bits of information to come up with their answers. From there, more recent ancient civilizations discovered many materials that they fashion into clothing. Ancient Egyptians produced linen from the flax plant around about 5,500 years BC. And the Chinese started producing silk around 4,000 BC. So these are more recent things, but much more definite in terms of age marks. Humans were probably decorating themselves long before clothes were even existed. When you look at contemporary hunter-gatherers who don't use clothing, they decorate themselves brilliantly with body painting. They don't need clothing in order to do that. Here are a couple of examples, decorating themselves long before clothes were even thought of. So the first clothes were made from natural elements, animal skins and furs, grass, leaves, bones, shells. Some of it was draped, loosely tied. However, simple needles made out of animal bone provided evidence of sewn leather and fur garments from at least 30,000 years ago. When settled Neolithic Stone Age cultures discovered the advantage of woven fibers over animal hides, the making of cloth, the drawing on basketry techniques, they were used to getting reeds and grasses and weaving them. They could do the same with thread of wool or some other stuff. These fundamental technologies emerged, and clothing was one of the things that they devoted their attention to. Cro-Magnons were considered the next stage in human development, and they emerged around 40,000 years ago and made advances in the manufacture of clothing. The smarter Cro-Magnon people, they were generally smarter than their predecessors, learned how to make fire and cook food, and they developed finer, more efficient tools, sharp awls and other pointed tools. Awls are used to puncture skins or some other thing, so you can put the thread through. If you go and see a saddle maker at work, they use an awl, and they still use them today. Or shoemakers in Italy, they use awls. Okay, so they would punch small holes in animal skins, they laced them together with a leather thong. In this way, they probably developed the first covering for the body, the legs, the feet. Now, what we see in archaeological sites is much more recent, but here you can see remnants of clothing that have been developed, also some of the tools. So archaeologists and other scientists have contributed. So the first piece of clothing was probably a tunic. A tunic's made from two pieces of rectangular animal hide bound together with a short side with a hole left for the head. So they slip it over the head and there it was. Just two bits of material sewn together. This rough garment was placed over the head and the stitch length lay on the shoulders with the remainder just hanging down. The arms stuck through the open sides, the garment was either closed with a belt or additional ties were placed at the side. The tunic was the ancestor of the shirt. One of the most important Cro-Magnon inventions was a needle. Needles were made of slivers of animal bone. They were sharpened to a point at one end, had an eye at the other. With a needle, Cro-Magnons so carefully cut pieces of fur into better fitting garments. Evidence suggests that Cro-Magnons developed close-fitting pants and shirts that would protect them from the cold, as well as shawls, hoods, long boots. Because they had not yet learned how to tan hides to soften them, the animal skin would be stiff first, but with repeated wearing, become more soft and more comfortable. Because once they learned how to tan the hide and get the suppleness in the leather, that was a lot better. Much of what is known about early clothing is a patchwork, with very little evidence and good guesses. Only fragments of very early clothing have survived. So archaeologists have relied on cave drawings and these other things I mentioned. They did, however, discover the remains of a man who died 5,300 years ago in the mountains of Austria, over near the border with Italy. And this helped to confirm much of what the archaeologists had already discovered. The body of the male hunter was well preserved in the ice for over 5,000 years, and many fragments of the clothing also survived. So they pieced together his garments, found that the Iceman, as he became known, wore a complex outfit. Carefully sewn leggings covered his lower legs. Thin leather loincloth was wrapped around his genitals and buttocks. Over his body, the man wore a long-sleeved fur coat that extended nearly to his knees. When it got too cold to show off the painted bodies, early humans were forced to cover up. The decorative function gets transferred onto the clothing rather than onto the body itself. Nowadays, if you go to the supermarket or down the street, there are lots of people who visited the tattoo artist and they've got ink splashed all over them. Once this happens, the human's need for clothing for social purposes became quite important. If you wander off again down the street, you'll see that people have uniforms. Either they work for some firm, it says on it, Telstra, my name is Jenny, or something of this sort, or they have a collar, they're some religious guys, and there are some who've got funny little stripes on them, they're either in the military or the police. So, clothing has a social purpose. Perhaps I should tell you about something I overheard recently. Two women were talking. One had received an invitation to a clothes optional pool party to celebrate the birthday of a male acquaintance. So inevitably the matter came up, what should I wear? The obvious answer sprang to my mind, your birthday suit, of course. So, not sure whether they took my advice, but that was it. Anyway, summing up. In this presentation, I've tried to explain how the use of clothing has become such an integral aspect of many people's identity. Similarly, a lack of clothing is crucial to the identity of some hunter-gatherer tribes, and of course to naturists in the present day. The lack of clothing. The truth about clothes is therefore much more complex than you might have imagined. Without clothes, we may not have survived. They kept us from the cold. They kept us from the heat. But today we use clothes for more than keeping warm. They're part of our identity, our culture, our social norms. Clothes set us apart from other species and from nature. What's more, by signaling that we belong to a particular social group, clothes play a major role in society. If you go on any day to a sporting fixture where there are many thousands of people, prior to the bans on people going to such places, you will see a wide range of people, and they demonstrate their place in society largely by their clothes. Some avid sports fans are decked out in colours of their team, but others show up more formally dressed, others blue singlet, stubbies and thongs, and so on. So, clothes play an important role in differentiating who we are and what we see ourselves in society. Now, I thought I should close there because time's marched on and you're all getting hungry and thirsty, so thank you for your attention.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.